We begin the current daf Maseches Brachos, daf Ches. We begin 12 lines in from the top of the Yamed. And the Gemara continues with the theme of the previous discussion, which is talking about Tefillah B'Tzibur and Beis HaKnesses, the Chashivas and the importance of these elements regarding Tefillah. Amar Shlokesh. Kol mi sheyesh le Beis HaKnesses be'iroi ve'ein nichnas sham l'rispal. Whoever has a shul in his city and he doesn't enter there to daven, nikur shochin rei, he's called a bad neighbor. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, Koyam Hashem, this is what Hashem says. Al kol shechein haram, regarding all the bad neighbors, hanoigim benachla asher hinchalti ami es Yisrael, regarding the Yerusha, which is a reference to the Beis HaKnesses that I inherited to my nation, to Klal Yisrael. And that's what it says, that it's called a shechein haram, because that's a reference to the nachla of Klal Yisrael, which are the Batei Knesiyos. Not only that, that he's called a shechein haram, a bad neighbor, but he causes galus, exile for himself and for his children. Shenema, like it says at the end of that pasuk, Hinini noitcha me'alad masam, I'm going to uproot them from their land. There's Beis Yehuda etosh mitoichem, in the house of Yehuda, I'm going to uproot from them. That is galus. And therefore we see how important it is that a person has a shul in a city to daven there. And the Gemara continues with the different skulais about davening in the Beis HaKnesses. Amr lei l'Rabbi Yochanan, ikka savi b'valeto Rabbi Yochanan, who is in Eretz Yisrael, there are elder people that are in Bavel, outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Tamav Amar, he wondered, he says, is it really true? Could there be people that live to a ripe old age out of Eretz Yisrael? It says, L'ma'an yirbu yimeichem, v'meivi nechem ala domiksev. It says that if a person will listen to Hashem, in the parasha of Ahayim Shemaya, therefore to multiply, to lengthen his days and the days of his children, al ha'adama, on the land, ksev. Av b'chutz l'oretz, it doesn't say in chutz l'oretz, how can you live to an old age out of Eretz Yisrael? So, Kivin de Amrile, Mekad me Mechashke, Lebe Kanishta, once they told him that these are the people that go early and stay late in Shul, Amr Hainu de Hanulahu, that is what helps them live to an old age. Kid de Amr Rebishu ben Levi Lebne, as Rebishu ben Levi told his son, Kedime Vachashichu Va'ayla Lebe Kanishta, go early and stay late when you're going into the Shul. And that is, you should go early in the morning for Shacharis, you should go late at night for Ma'ariv. In other words, you should lengthen your time stay in the Beis HaKnesses. It's somewhere where you should be hanging out. So that your life should be prolonged. And that was why Rabbi Yochanan understood that although Laman Yibu Yumeichem, the days to be lengthened is only Allah Adama on Eretz Yisrael, but for the sake of being in the Beis HaKnesses, which the Mefarshim want to say that the Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses, we know, has the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, so it has a similar type of a Mahalach that it'll have the Laman Yibu Yumeichem just by being in the Shul. What's the source for this? Amar Bachar b'Pchanin in Micro, what's the pasuk? Ashi Adam Shemeli. Hashem says, praiseworthy is the man that listens to me. Lishgod al dalsoise yoim yoim, who comes quickly on my doors every day. Lishma mezuzis pischei, to watch the doorpost of my entrance. That is somebody that comes to shul. Uchsiv basrei ki maitzi motzachayim, because those who find me find life. And that's the idea that life will come, a longer life will come for those that are quick to come to the Beis HaKnesses, to the shul. And the Gemara continues with a halacha to show the chashivas of the tefillah in the Beis HaKnesses. Amar Rav Chisda, lo'olam yikanes adam shnei pesachim beis HaKnesses. Person should always go through two entrances when he goes into the shul. So the Gemara asks, shnei pesachim sogadaitach? Do you really think that you have to walk through two doorways? When we make the shul, when we design, you have to make two doorways going into the shul? Ele'ema shir shnei pesachim v'achakechisba. Rather, what it means today means the shir, the amount, the measurement of two doorways, and then they should daven. As Rashi says, it means the width of two doorways, which is approximately 8 amas, which is around like 16 feet. That's how much a person should walk into, and they shouldn't sit close to the entrance. Because then it seems about this person that it's something that's challenging for him, and he doesn't really want to be there. He wants to be as close as possible to the exit to get out when it's over with. That's Rashi's pshat, and that's why you have to be that amount in. You shouldn't be right by the doorway. You should go in the shear of two entrances, which is around 8 amos into the shul. The Bach, however, says that can't be the pshat, because since he's in the shul, who cares if it's close to the door or it's not close to the door? And he says a very practical reason. He says, let's say it's a very tight shul, and there's a lot of people there, and somebody's got to sit by the door, so how could he's going to be over on this halacha? Rather, the pirsh, the Bach says, is that he shouldn't be quick to daven right when he comes into the shul. Rather, he should first sit a little bit, and that he should have his yishuv hadas, that's also not proper to start right away when you come in, because that's also the same idea that Nir Olav Kamas, as if it's a yoke upon them. Don't just run into the minyan and start Shemang Nesra right away. You have to give yourself those few moments with the shir of Shnei Pesachim, the amount of time it takes to walk 8 amas, which is not that long of a time, but you give yourself that time, that shows the chashivas you have for the tefillah in the Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara continues, as we mentioned before, that there's different times that are Eis Ratzayin, the different times of tefillah that have a more distinct time for them. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, and it's going to give 5 different interpretations of what it means. It says in the pasuk, Al zayis yispal kol chassid eilecha la'eis mitzayin, that for this, every righteous person, every chassid, will daven for you, la'eis mitzayin, at the time that it's needed for a finding. What it means is that if he should daven, that these things should be found for him when he needs it. So what is this thing that's so important that it's la'eis, that when it's a time when he needs it, matzai, that he should be able to find it? Amar b'chanina, la'eis matzai zu isha. That it means when it's the time for the person to get married, that he should find, it means a woman. Shenemar matzai isha, matzai tev. It says regarding the word matzah, it says when it talks about finding a spouse, it says, I found a woman, I found good. So therefore, when it says la'is matzai, it's a reference to finding a wife. That person should daven, every chassid should daven, that he should be able to find the right zivug. Interesting, a related discussion, the Gemara says, that b'marava, kinasiv inish itza, in Eretz Yisrael, when a man would marry a woman, amr lehachi, they told him this phrase, matza oy maitza, did you find or are you finding? And the understanding of what they were saying was, matza, d'chsiv, matza isha, matza toiv, did you find a good woman, that it says in the pasuk, I found a woman, I found good, which is in the past tense. V'yafik ratzim Hashem, and I will obtain favor from Hashem. In other words, that's a isha yiras Hashem that's going to help him on his derech of Torah and Avodah. Or is it maitzah, that I find in the present, t'chsev, u'maitzah ani mar mimavis es isha v'gayim, that I find more bitter than death, the woman. So in other words, did you get a good wife or did you get a bad wife? Is the reference of matzah and maitzah. Matzah is matzah isha matzah to have a good wife. And maitzah in the present is maitzah ani sa isha mar mimavis. Ani mar mimavis is isha, that the woman is more bitter than death. And the Mefarshim want to say, what does this mean? What is the statement? They would not ask him a question, as it says. It says they would tell him this, which is matzah in the past tense means if you found and it's done and you know that she's the right person for you, then it's matzah isha matzah toiv for yafik ratzim Hashem. But if you're still finding, you're always looking, is she the one? Maitziani, you're in the present, constantly looking, is she the right one? Then it's mar mimavis, then it's more bitter than death, because you're always going to find something to nitpick and say that it's, oh, I shouldn't have done, it should have been different. That's the message they would tell him. They weren't asking him a question because it's none of their business and it's not something that should be discussed. But rather, they were telling him this important lesson. Once you're married, if you really want to have a happy life, the idea is matzah isha, matzah toiv. It's already done, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this hashkocha that she should be your wife. Then Gemara continues with the explanation of this pasuk. Reb Nosson Omer, he says, la'eis matzai, for the time when it's needed, you should find it. Zutar, it means Torah. Shenemar ki moitzi matzah chayim, because those who find me find life. Moitzi, those who find me, means finding Torah. That's how we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it means that a person should daven, that he should be able to be successful in his learning. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Amar, a third interpretation, La'es Mitzay Zumisa, it means death, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should let him pass away with a pleasant and easy death. Shenema Lamos Toitzois, that for death they will go out. So that's what we learned, that Tanina Mahochi Teisha Meyois Ushloisha Mine Misa Never Ba'ilam. There are 903 different ways of dying that were created in the world. Shenema la mavis taitzois, that for death there are many avenues. So the Gemara learns taitzois, the word taitzois begematria hachihaven, the gematria, which is every letter has a numerical value. Tav is 400, vav is 6. If you calculate all of them, it comes up to the word 903. That's to tell you that mavis has taitzois. That's 903 ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made naturally how a person could die. And the Gemara says that this is what a person should daven for, that it should be the easiest death. La'es matzai is la'movis toitzois, that a person has the word toitzah, a person should daven for this matziah, that it should be the easiest death. And the Gemara explains, kasha shabakul naskar, the most difficult death is askara, which Rashi uses a French word, but it's related to the English word, ishtranglement, which is, so to speak, choking, estranglement, which is inside the person's throat. That's the most challenging one. Nicheshe bekula neshika, but the most the easiest death is what's called the kiss of death, which is, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu metaphorically kissing the person and removing his soul that way. And the Gemara explains how these two deaths happen. Askara, how do you understand this death of a stranglement, is damya kechizra begavava d'amra. It's like thorns that are in a ball of wool, delachori nasha, that's being yanked back, which is that when you have the thorns of the rose or whatever it is that's stuck in a ball of wool, when you pull it, it gets stuck in and you can't separate it totally. That's a hurtful process. That's what a stranglement is like. Vekadam, and some say kipiture befi vesh. It's like pulling a rope through tiny holes. It's just like schlepping it out. It's a hurtful process. Neshika, and however the death of through a kissing, damu kemishchal binisa mechalba. It's like removing a hair from milk. It just comes right out. As someone has a hair that's in his milk, it comes right out. And Mefreshim explained that these two elements of askra to one extreme and the neshika to the other extreme is depending how attached a person's soul is to the mundane physical world. If it's attached, it can't come out. It's pulled in, and therefore it's hard to remove it from the body. But someone that's totally spiritual, it's like removing a hair from the milk. He's not attached to it. He's not attached to this physical, mundane body, and therefore it comes out right away. And that's why it just needs the misa of neshika. So that was the third explanation of what a person should daven for. The fourth explanation, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, le'is matzai zukvur, it means for proper burial. And as the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina Micro, what's the pasuk for this to show that a person should be davening, that he should have a proper burial? As it says, Hasmeichim Ele Gil, those that rejoice with me, Yesisu ki yimtzu kever, they should rejoice because it was found a burial place. So we see that a yimtza, the matza that a person should find, is kever, that's what a person should daven for. And as the Gemara comments on this, that Amr Rabbi Bar Shila, this is what people say, the Laboyi Inchi Rachmi Afilat Zibuli Basrai Sashalma, that a person should always be davening, as we said, that this is what a person should daven for, La'is, even until the last shovelful is thrown onto his casket, that he should daven for peace. And that is that he should always have peace his whole life, but even on the day that he's being buried, until the last bit of earth is thrown over the casket, as we say, La'is Matzah, a person should daven for that. And the fifth and final explanation is Mazutra Amr Le'is Mitzoy Zebes Akise. This is to find a lavatory, a bathroom. And that is that a person should be living in a place that has a Beis Akise near him, because in the land of Bavel, there was it was very watery. And people weren't able to dig, so to speak, an outhouse, a pit, to be able to take care of their needs. And they had to go very far out to the fields, and it was a challenging situation. So therefore, le'is matzai is at the time of need, when a person has to relieve himself, it should be found, a beis akise, that's the something that a person should daven for. And not only that, the Gemara says, Amri b'mayrava, that homa de mazdruta, this last one of mazdruta, that le'is matzai is a reference to a beis akise, adif makul is better than all of them. And that is because it's something that's very related to a person's physical health. And that's why they held that it was the greatest interpretation of the pasuk, le'is matzai, that's what a chassid should daven for. So he had five interpretations, either meant when a person is looking for a woman as a spouse, or if a person is looking for success in his Torah, or it means when the person is requesting how he passes away, or the fourth one is that it's for a proper burial, and the fifth pshat was that it's regarding a Beis Akise, and in Eretz Yisrael they said that was the best pshat, that it meant that a person should have a lavatory available when he has to relieve himself. So Gemara continues and resumes the discussion about a Beis HaKnesses, a shul. Amalei Rava L'Rafim Bar Papa, Leimalon Mar, Mehani Mila Malyasa, De Amrit Mishmed Rav Chizda B'mil Demei Knishta. Say over some of the beautiful Divri Torah that you had in the name of Rav Chizda that discussed the topic of a Beis HaKnesses of a Shul. Amalei, Hochi Amr Rav Chizda, Maidich Siv Oyev Hashem Shari Tzion Mikol Mishkanus Yaakov. He was explaining the pasuk, what does it mean Hashem loves the gates of Eretz Yisrael of Tzion, then from all the tents in Yaakov? So he explained it as follows. Oyev Hashem Sha'arim Ham Tzionim B'Halacha, that Hashem loves the gates that are distinguished in Halacha. That's the word Shari Tzion, that the gates that are Mitzuyin, that are distinguished in Halacha, Yoysim Batik and Nesisim and Batim Midrashim, more than the Mishkan and Yaakov, more than the shuls and the Batim Midrashim. And behind the Dam Reb Chiya Bar Ami Mishmeidu Ula, that Miyoyim Shacharav Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Ein Lai La Kadosh Baruch Hu Bailama, Ela Abba Amish Halacha Bavad, that's all Hashem has now. He has nowhere to be, so to speak, besides the four cubic ames of halacha. And that's what he said, that Hashem loves the sha'arim hamtzuyan b'halacha, because halacha teaches someone how to get the utmost out of the life, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that follow the dictates of halacha and then you'll get the perfect life. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I only come in these dalet ames. And that's how he interpreted the pasuk, Oyev Hashem Sha'arei Tzion, greater than all the batei knesiyos and the batei midrashos. So the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha. The Amar Abaya. Abaya said, I used to daven in my house. I used to learn in my house. And then I would daven in shul. Once I heard this statement in the name of Ula, that once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, really the only place HaKadosh Baruch Hu has are the four cubits where halacha is learned. So I only daven where I would learn, because that's where the Shechin is. I wouldn't go necessarily to the shul. Wherever it was that I learned, I would make sure that I should daven there, because that's where the Shechin is. Similarly, the Gemara says, Reb Ami, Reb Asi, even though there were 13 shuls in Tveriyah, so they only daven between the pillars where they learned. And the same idea, because the Shechina is there in the Dalet Ames al Halacha Bilvat. Another statement from Reb Chiya Bar Ami in the name of Ula. V'am Reb Chiya Bar Ami Meshmei de Ula. Godol hanenem yigiyoy yeisim reishamayim. Creator is the one that benefits from his labor, from the hard work that he does, than someone that has the fear of Shemayim. And that is the ilugab yirei shemayim, because regarding a yirei shemayim, it says in the pasuk, Ashrei ish yireis Hashem, praiseworthy is the man that fears Hashem. The ilugab nenem yigiyoi, however, regarding the person that enjoys that gets pleasure out of the work that he does, it says yigiyoi kapecha kiseichel, regarding your consumption of the toil of your work, ashrecha v'toivloch, you're praiseworthy and it's good for you. So what's this repetition of Ashrecha and Toivloch? So that's Ashrecha b'ol mazem, you're praiseworthy in this world, for Toivloch l'amabo, and it's good for you in the world to come. However, l'gabi yirshemayim, however, regarding when it talks about someone that has the fear of heaven, v'toivloch l'ksivbe, it doesn't say the word Toivloch, it only says Ashrei, it only says the word of Me'usher, and it doesn't say Toivloch. So we see that greater is the one that's nenim yigiyai, because then he's actualizing his potential. And the Mefarshim say that obviously he has to have a level of Yirei Shemayim also, but the someone that's Nen Migiyoy, he understands his role in the world to a greater extent than someone that's just Yirei Shemayim, and therefore he has Ashrecha V'Tayvlach, and is greater than someone that's just Yirei Shemayim. Another statement from the same Amor, Remember Chia Barami Mishmei De'ula, La'olam Yadar Adam B'mkayim Rabbi. A person should always live in the same locale as his Rebbe, where his teacher lives. And the proof is, as long as Shimi ben Gera was still around, Shlomo HaMelech did not marry the daughter of Pare. As the Pasuk in Malachim, in Perek Aleph Pasuk Gimel says, it shows that right after the time of the death of Shimi, it says, then he got married to the daughter of Pare. And that is because Shimi ben Gera was Shlomo's Rebbe. He refrained from that, and that's how we see that a person should always live close to his Rebbe, because then he'll conduct himself on a higher level. However, the Gemara asks, "Vatanya al yoder," but we learn another brayza says you should not live in the same place as your Rebbe. So the Gemara says, "Loi kasha." It's not a difficulty; it depends. Had the kayif le, had the loy kayif le. If you're subordinate to your Rebbe, then you're going to be makabel his techachas musus, and you should live next to him. But if you're not subordinate to your Rebbe, then it's better to live far away from him. As the famous phrase is, "He shogig val yimeis." Let him rather be someone that does it by mistake than to do it willfully, because he's not going to listen to his Rebbe anyway, and that's going to be a more severe situation. So therefore, then do not live in the same place. Now the Gemara goes on to the discussion of Kriyas HaTorah, by reading the Torah in the Shul. What's the understanding of the pasuk that says that those who forsake Hashem will be consumed? Who's this type of person that forsakes Hashem? So he said, "Zehamanich sefer Torah pesuach v'yotze." This is the type of person that leaves the sefer Torah open, as the Bach puts in that word "open," and he leaves that and he goes out of shul. So when the sefer Torah is open, you should not be walking out of the shul. Reb Avohu nothing being gavla gav, but it says Reb Avohu would leave the Beis Medrash between the people that were getting the aliyah, and it wasn't open, so then there wasn't a problem that it wasn't during the time of the Kriya. However, Bayer Papa Bein Psuka LePsuka Mahu, we understand that you can't walk out when they're in the middle of reading from the Sefer Torah, because that's a bazillion, that's Oizvi Hashem, they forsake Hashem. But what's the halacha if between the different Psukim and the times of the Gemara they would translate the words and they would say a pasuk, and then the Metargim would translate it. So it wasn't the time when they were reading from the Sefer Torah. Can you walk out then? So Gemara says, take, or it doesn't resolve this question. The Gemara does say that Rav Sheshes Mahadar Ape Vagaris. Rav Sheshes, he turned around his face in the middle of the Kriyas Torah, and he would go ahead and continue his learning, although they were in the middle of reading from the Sefer Torah. And Amar Anan Bididan, V'inu Biditu, he says, we're doing what we're doing, and they're doing what they're doing. Although they're reading from the Sefer Torah, I'm doing my own learning over here, and it's not a problem. Taisus asked that from the Gemara in Saita, it says, Ukapischai Amdu Kala Ama Paskin Nechemir, that it says, once the Sefer Torah is open, it's usher to say anything, even words of halacha. So how could he have gone ahead and turned his face and learned in Torah? So Taisus says, there's talking about B'kol Ram, with a loud voice. And the reason why it's usher when they're reading from the Sefer Torah is that you shouldn't be mevatel the koil of the Kriyas Torah. And here it's talking that he did it calm and quietly, and therefore it wasn't a problem. And why did he turn his face? It's telling you a chiddush that even though he turned his face, which it looks like he's leaving the Sefer Torah, it's okay, because the reason why he turned it was to continue focusing on his learning. However, the Rif writes that the girsa of the Bahag was that it's only if there's 10 people besides him, then he could learn. But if there's no other 10 people, but only with him, then he can't continue learning. He has to focus on the Kriyas Torah. And here in this story, we're talking about that there were 10 besides him. Another teretz the Rif gives is Rav Sheshes was different because he's known as Tairasa Umnasa. He was someone that his life was Taira, and therefore Taisa says that it's mistaber for us like this teretz that the Rif gives, and subsequently the halacha would be that no one could turn their face and continue learning because no one in today's day is considered Taira Umnasa, and therefore once this Kriyas Taira, you cannot continue learning and you have to focus on the Kriyas Taira, because if not, you're considered Izra Shemichlu. You're embarrassing, you're forsaking the Torah that's being read right then. Another statement from Rav Huna by Yehuda Omer Abami. The Gemara says, Omer Rav Huna by Yehuda Omer Abami. La'olam yashlim adam parshiyosev matzibur shnayim mikvech hatargim. That a person should always continue and fulfill and complete his reading of the parshiyos of every weekly parasha with the tzibur shnayim mikvech hatargim. He should read the pasuk two times and he should say the targum one time. So we continue on to Amud Beis, and Vafila Teres V'Divin, and that's even the words of a Teres V'Divin in the Torah, which Rashi says has no translation, has no targum. In spite of that, you should still say Shnayim Mikvecha Targum, which Taisus explains to mean that you have to say the Ivri, the Hebrew words, three times, because since there's no targum, you have to say it three times. So therefore, you say the Pasuk three times because there's no targum. And the Gemara says the reason for this is why you have to do Shnayim Mikvecha Targum. It's Kol HaMashlim Parshiyos V'Matzibur Marichin Lo Yomav Shnayim, because whoever completes the parashas in the Torah with the Tzibur, meaning at the time of when the Tzibur is reading those parashas, so then they lengthen his days and his years, which the repetition means quantity and quality of his days. The Gemara brings a story related to this, that Rav Bibi Bar Abaye Savalash Laminu Lo Parshiyos Dekula Shata B'Maliyam Dekipur. He thought he wanted to take care of the whole Shnayim Mikvecha Targum of the whole Torah that's read the whole year. He wanted to take care of it on every Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Tana Lechia Barav Midifti Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'nisim Es Nafshei Seichem B'tisha L'Chodesh B'Ev, it says regarding Yom Kippur that you should afflict your soul on the ninth day towards the evening. To which he asked, V'chi B'tisha Mesan, do we fast? Do we afflict ourselves on the ninth of Tishrei? V'alei B'asar Mesan, we fast on the tenth day. So why does it say betisha lachaydish? Elolaim alachal dekala oichel v'shoyis betchi mala lavakasav kila mesana chivasi. Rather, what it's coming to tell you is that whoever eats and drinks on the ninth, that we know there's a mitzvah to be eating on Erev Yom Kippur, the pasuk considers this person as if he fasted on the ninth and on the tenth. And that is what the pasuk is saying, that prepare yourself on the ninth day that you should be able to fast on the following day, and that it looks in my eyes as if you afflicted yourself and fasted yourself on the ninth day also. So the message he was telling him was that you can't go ahead and do Shnayim Mikvecha Targum now, that although everyone's off from yeshiva now, it's Erev Yom Kippur and you have time, you can't. That's not what you should be doing. You should be eating, not learning. So the Gemara continues and says, Sovalak Duminu. So he thought to himself that maybe he'll go ahead and prepare all the parashas in 1 week. In 2 weeks, you know that it's Simchas Torah, it's Bereishis, so go ahead and do the whole thing till Vazir Sabracha, so you won't have to worry about it every week. Amaleh Ahusaba, so this elder told him, Taninu, we learned. Ubavad shlo yaktim v'shlo yachar. You can't do it too early, and you can't do it too late. Kada Amalehu Rabbi Shua ben Levi Lebnei, like Rabbi Shua ben Levi told his son, Ashlimu Pasha Seichim Atzibur Shnayim mikavecha targum. I want you to complete the parashas of the Torah with the tzibra during that week when they're doing it. Two times in the mikra and one time of the targum. So Tosis does tell us that it would seem that the whole week, that as long as they started the parasha from the mincha of the Shabbos before until the following Shabbos, that's called with the tzibra. You could do it at any time during that week. And the Medrash brings that the zman of being mashlamit is that it says three things Rabbeinu HaKadosh commanded his children at the time when he was passing away. One is that they shouldn't eat bread on Shabbos until they finish the whole entire parasha. So Tosfos says in mashma that before the eating you have to be mashlamit already. However, he does say that if you finish it before even after the eating, then it's okay, Yoitza. But the mitzvah and the mufkot, Tosfos says, is before one eats, a person should be mashlamit with the tzibur. So one thing Rabbi Shimon Levi told his son was to do shnayim mikavecha targum with the tzibur. The second thing is v'hizaru bevriden kreb Yehuda. I want you to be careful with the vriden, with the jugular veins in the chicken, as Rabbi Yehuda said. The tnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda omer at sheyishchet as havriden until you slaughter the jugular veins, which means that you want that all the blood should drain from the chicken. And the reason why it was necessarily by a knife, by a chicken, was because it's roasted all together, and therefore if one does not, so to speak, slice the jugular veins, there's still going to be some blood inside the chicken. And the third thing he told him was, "Behizaharu bezakin shashach tamu demachmas einzer." You should be careful with the honor of an elder person that forgot his learning because of involuntary reasons. In other words, it's due to old age or dementia. That meaning, like we said, Luchais v'shivrei luchais menachis ba'ar, and he showed him that remez that it says that the luchais, the tablets, which were the second luchais given, and the shivrei luchais, which were the broken pieces of the first luchais, they're both put into the aron, which the remez is that's trying to show is that although he's shivrei luchais, like it says asher shibarta, it says in the pasuk in Devarim b'samtem ba'aron that even the broken ones you should put in. He's so to speak like a broken luchais because of his situation of food or whatever it is that now he can't learn. You still have to honor such a person as it's still put into the aron. The Gemara continues with other admonitions and azharas that fathers gave to their sons. Amlahu Rava lebnei. Rava taught to his son, "Kishatam chaytchem baser atachatchol gavayad." When you're cutting meat, don't cut it on your hand. So there's two interpretations of why he said that. Ikadami mishum sakana. Some say because of danger, you shouldn't cut your hands. You know, you're going to be cutting meat on your hand. You might slice it too far and you might cut your hand. Vikadami mishum kilkosud. And some say because of it's going to ruin the meal, that even if you're going to just make a little nick and some blood is going to come out, it's going to make the food dirty and all those around are going to be disgusted that there's blood on it. So therefore, don't cut the meat when it's on your hand. A second thing he told him was about teshva mita aramas. Don't sit on our Armenian bed, and the Gemara is going to explain what's the reason for that. And don't go behind the shul at the time when the tzibur is davening, and because it would seem that a person is not giving covered to the tefillah that they're having in there, and don't pass by that. It should seem like you don't care about the tefillah that's inside. So the Gemara goes back to discuss the second thing he told him was about teshva mita ramas. Don't sit on the Armenian bed. What's the reason for that? The Gemara gives three interpretations of what he meant by that. Ikadami, some say, don't go to sleep without Krishna, which means to say that your bed is going to be like a Gayesha bed. Like, don't fear Zachvidigayim, you know, don't sleep on the Armenian bed, because it means if you don't say Krishna, it's as if you're going to sleep like a guy. The second thing is, Ikadami, deloy tinsevu giyarta. It means don't marry a convert. A woman that was converted, that means that your bed, so to speak, is a metaphor for that. That don't marry a convert. That was the message he told to his son, meant that he's going to be sleeping on the Armenian bed. And some today, a third explanation, Aramis Mamish, it means actually don't sleep on the Armenian bed, don't sit down in it. And the reason for this is that this was told to him because of an incident that happened with Rav Papa. Rav Papa also legabe Aramis. Papa went to this Armenian woman. So she put out a bed for him. So he said to him, sit down, you know, till I get what you need from me. He said, I'm not going to sit down until you pick up the bed to see what's under the blankets. So she picked up the bed and they found under it a dead child. And Rashi brings the larger context of the story that she told him to sit down because she owed him money, and she wanted to make a story, a libel about him that he had said and killed her child. So therefore, he asked first what was there, and they found the dead child. So from here the Chacham said, which the Chacham do a lot of times when there was an incident that happened, which was the trigger. Although there's a reason for many different reasons, but when an incident happens, there's a trigger for Chacham to make. They said, don't sit on the Armenian bed. As we find this incident, they tried conspiring against him that it's as that to make believe as if he killed a child. So he told them also, the second thing was, don't go behind the shul at the time when the tzibur is davening. So the Gemara says, this sis, and it's similar to the halacha that Rabbi Shimon Levi said. Don't go behind the shul at the same time when the tzibur is davening, because it looks like that you're trying to excuse yourself. You're to run away from the entrance of the Beis HaKnesses, which is in the eastern part. So if you're walking behind, which is where the entrance is, it looks like you're not interested in tefillah. However, the Gemara qualifies this with a few different conditions. Amar Abaye, said this only if there's no other entrance to the shul. Unless if there's another entrance, there's no problem, because it's not necessarily that you're not going into shul. Maybe you're going to the other entrance. Another condition is, that's only if there's no other shul in town. Unless there's no problem, because I'm not going to this shtibl, I'm going to the next shul. Another condition is, it's only if you're not carrying a package. But if you're carrying a package, that maybe you're busy with whatever it is, but not that you're not caring about shul. And below rohat, and you're not running. Because if you're running, it's a siman that you're busy doing something. And again, not just that you don't care about what's going on in shul. And the fifth one is below monach tefillin, and that you're not wearing tefillin. Because if you're wearing tefillin, then it's a sign, it's not that I disregard HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because if I did, then I wouldn't be wearing tefillin. So therefore the Gemara says, but if you have one of these five things, then there's no problem. Again, which these five things were, there's five different exceptions to the isra of walking behind the shul when they're davening. One is if there's another entrance. Two is if there's another shul. Three is if you're carrying a package, that's a siman that you're busy with something. Four is that you're running. Again, also a siman that you're busy taking care of something. And five is that you're wearing tefillin. Again, that it's obviously a sign that you don't disregard HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you're wearing a tefillin. Those are the different exceptions. Similar to the admonition that Rava gave to his son, that when you cut meat, you shouldn't cut it on your hand, rather you should cut, so to speak, on the table. The Gemara brings a similar statement, and it segues into other statements related to that. It's Tanya, Amar B'Kiva, B'Shleishu Dvarim, Ani Oyev Ani Es Medion. For three things that they do, I like the meats. K'shechoitchem Es Abasar Ein Choitchne L'Gab HaShulchan. When they cut meat, they don't cut it only on the table, as similar to what Rava said, don't cut on your hand. It can make the food disgusting, or you could hurt yourself. Rather, they cut on the table. Secondly, is kashanoishkin einoishkin el gavayad. When they kiss, they only kiss on the hand. Again, another thing that's with cleanliness, they would only kiss on the hand, and that's a derech of chashivas because there's spit in the person's mouth when he kisses, and therefore the hand is the most appropriate for cleanliness and covet. And the third thing is kashayoyitzin einoitzin el basada. When they give advice, they only give their counsel in the field. As Rashi says, the famous phrase, that the walls have ears, and that aznaim l'kaisel, and therefore they would go out into a far place. That was something that he liked about that, because if you say something private in a place where there's walls, there can be, so to speak, people hearing. And the Gemara would comment on this, that Amr Avad have a micro, what's the posse that says the same idea? Says, that he summoned his wife Rachel and Leah to the field to where the cattle were, and that's the idea, that why didn't he go to the house to tell them? Because in the fields, that he could tell them the secrets that he wanted to leave from the house of love. And because in the house, again, Yeshua's name Lekaisel, the walls have ears, and those are the three things that Rabbi Kiva liked about the meads. So a similar type of a statement. Tanya Amram Gamaliel Bishleish Dvaram Oivani Esa Parsion. He said that in three things I like the Persians. They're very modest in the way they eat. They're modest in the lavatory. And they're modest in something else, which Rashi says means tashmish, in the way they have relations. However, the Gemara does say that although the Persians had these milas of tznius, it says in the pasuk, Ani tzivesi l'mekudashay, that I have commanded for my prepared ones. And that is, this is a pasuk by the downfall of Bavel, that Hashem says that I commanded the kings of Persia and Madai to come and to destroy it, so that it says that, why is the Persians called Mekudash? It's a Tanur of Yosef, Ela Parsiyam, that's a reference to the Persians, Hamukudashin umzumanim l'gehenim, who are prepared And that's the one of the interpretations of Kadosh is set aside. They're set aside and prepared for Gehenna, that although he praised them in these three ways, you should just understand the Persians were evil people and they're prepared for Gehenna. And that's why when it referred to the Persians, it used the word Lemukudashe. So now the Gemara continues now with the phrase from the Mishnah on Daf Beis that spoke about the Machloikis up until when one can say the evening Krishma. Again, Rabbi Eliezer said up until 4 hours into the night, the end of the first Mishmar. Chacham said up until Chatzai Shem. Gemara says one can say Krishma the whole entire night until Amud Hashach, until the break of dawn. So the Gemara paskins in the Halacha. Or maybe Huda Meshmul Halacha, Karem Gamliel, Halacha Zagam Liel, that one can say Krishma the whole entire night. However, the Gemara does say, Tanya B'Shim Ben Yoichi Omer, Pa'om Sh'odm Kari Krishma, Shtei Pa'om Balail. He says it could be at times that someone could say Krishma two times at night. And that is, achas koidim shi'al amud ha'shachar, one time before the break of dawn, v'achas la'ala shi'al amud ha'shachar, one time after dawn, v'yoytze ben yidei chavosi, achas shal yoyim, v'achas shal layla, and you'll be yoytze yuchiv krishma, one of v'shach b'cho, one of the krishma of night, and one of kamech, one of the krishma of the morning, right before amud ha'shachar, and right after amud ha'shachar, again, because we're passing like Rav Gamliel, that you can say it the whole entire night, so you have one right before and right after, and so to speak, you take care of both chiyuv v'krishma. But the Gemara asked, it's internally a contradiction. Hagufa kasha. Amrit, you said, pa'amim sh'adim kare krishma sh'ti pa'amim balayla. You said that a person can say krishma two times at night. Alma, so you see, la'ach sh'yal amur ha'shach ha'lelihu. Obviously, you consider after amur ha'shach, after the break of dawn, still night, because you're saying it twice at night. And then you go ahead and say that you're going to be yotze yichiv krishma, one of the day krishma, one of the night krishma. Alma yamamahu. So obviously, you consider after amur ha'shach a day. So how do we understand this? So the Gemara answers, "Lo elam lel yehu." In truth, it is night, and that is because for halacha, we consider night until netzachama, until sunrise, and that's why he says you're saying your krishma twice a night. V'had the kari le yoyim, and this that was saying it that you're being yotzi yichiv krishma of the day, because the ikki inchi the kaimi bahishayit, because there are people that get up at that time, and therefore the zman krishma of yoyim of day regarding krishma it says uvkumecha. When people get up, and since people get up, although it's still halachically still night, but since people get up, so therefore after Amud Hashach it's considered Ubkumecha. So therefore, although you're saying Krishma twice at night for Krishma purposes, it's already the Krishma of the Yom, and that's why you can be Yitzah the two Chiyuv. Amar Vacha Bar Chanina Amar B'Shuv Ben Levi Halacha K'B'Shuv Ben Yochi says the halacha is like B'Shuv Ben Yochi that you actually could do this. You could have this, grouping of saying right before Amud Hashach, look at the clock, see it's what time it is, 5:18. At 5:15 you say the evening Krishma, 5:20 you say the morning Krishma, and you yitzah both chiyuv. That was one version of this discussion. Ikud Demasni Lahadir Avacha Bar Chanina Ha. Some say that the Psak Halacha of Avacha Bar Chanina was going on the following statement. That he said the following halacha, that a person could sometimes say krishma twice during the day. One will be before sunrise, one will be after sunrise. And you'll be able to yoytze yachiv krishma of the night, right before the nets. And the morning Krishma right after the nets. To which the Gemara asks a similar question. Hagufa kasha. It's an internal contradiction. Amrit pa'am sha'adm kari Krishma shtei pa'am bayoyim. He said sometimes a person could say Krishma two times during the day. Alma koydam anetzacham yamamu. So obviously you hold it after Amud Hashachar. After already the break of dawn, before Netzacham is already considered day, because you're saying it twice during the day. And then you go ahead and say that you could be yitzchiv krishma, one of the day krishma, one of the night krishma. Al milelu is obviously that you hold before Netzacham, after Amud Hashachar is still considered night. So how do we resolve this? So that we continue the Gemara on the top of Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Loi la'olam yamamu. In truth, that before Netzacham from Alois Hashachar on is already considered halachically day. And this that we call after Amud Hashachar, before Netz night, and that is the Ika Inchi, the Gon of Bahishai, because people are still sleeping at that time. So although we're considering that you're being Yotze Yechiv Krishma of night, and that's why we said that it's night, that's only because we could still consider it Uvashach B'cho, because people are still laying down. So again, although it's a halachically day, however, it's still a kiyum of Uvashach B'cho, because then people are still sleeping. And as Rabbi Gamliel learns, Uvashach B'cho is the time, as long as people are sleeping, not like Rabbi Eliezer says, when you're going to sleep. And that is what we said in this second version, that Amr Abacha Bar Chanina, Amr B'Shim and Levi, that halacha Krib Shimon Mishum, Sha'amah Mishum Rebbe Kiva, that this is the halacha like him, that again, that you could say Krishma before Netzachama, and B'Yoytza Yechiv Krishma the night, and you could say Krishma right after Netzachama, and B'Yoytza both Krishmas of the evening and the night. So we have a machloikus over here. If this between these two different versions of what the halacha is, like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva, if the time between Alois Hashacha, the break of dawn, and Netzacham of sunrise, is a kiyum of Ubershach Bacha or of Kumecha, is it, are we considering it people sleeping, people getting up, is it day, is it night? Those are two different versions, but either way, we had two versions that you could be Yitzah before Alois Hashacha and after Alois Hashacha, and before Netz and after Netz. Either way, you'll be able to have your chiyum, your kiyum of the evening Krishma and the morning Krishma. However, the Gemara does qualify this and says, "Amr Abzeru, ubavach leim hashkivenu." As long as you don't say hashkivenu, which is that if a person says kriyishma of the evening kriyishma in the morning time, right by Amur HaShachar, he shouldn't say the brach of hashkivenu, which is the birchas kriyishma of Ma'ariv, because it's not anymore the time of sleeping. Rather, it's the end of the sleeping. So, what's a hashkivenu? Hashem, it's saying Hashem put us to sleep in peace and whatever, but you're not going to sleep. It's already the morning. So, Abzeru says, although you could still say kriyishma, don't say the birchas kriyishma of hashkivenu. This statement that we said, that he said halachas like Rabbi Kiva in the previous statements, lav beferish itma, it was not said explicit, el machlol itma, it was implicit, it was an implication from a different statement. Now how do we know this? There was this peer of Tamid HaChacham that got drunk at the chasna of the son of Rabbi Shub ben Levi. And also they came in front of Shimon Levi. What happened was they got drunk and they fell asleep and they woke up after Amur HaShachar, but it was still before Netzachama. So they asked him, can we still say the evening Krishma? Is it still Ubershach Bacha? It's not Netz, but it's already after Amur HaShachar. Amar, on that he said, Kedai hu Reb Shimon, lismichal of Beshas Tzchak. Worthy is Reb Shimon to rely on him in a time of difficulty in the Shas Tzchak. That now you what can you do? You fell asleep and you woke up. So therefore, yes, you can go ahead and say evening Krishma, although it's already after Alei Sashachar, it's still a kima of Ubershach Bacha up until Netzachama. But Rashi is medayik that if it's not a Shasetchak, definitely you cannot. It's only like the story in our Mishnah of the children of Rabbi Gamliel that they bypassed it because they were busy and they forgot and it was an oinus. Then you can say Krishma up until Aloy Amur HaShachar, and possibly like Rabbi Shimon B'Shas HaTzchak up to Netzachama, but definitely Likatchila, one should not say Krishma that late, definitely not after Aloy HaShachar, and possibly according to many Rishonim and Halacha, that a person should say Krishma even before Chatzais, as the Chacham say, Kedei Laharchik Adam Min HaAvera.